Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Temptations. From the lure of the forbidden cookie jar to the dark, evil internet. From the gossip we long to share to the grudges and criticisms we give birth to. Temptations. And perhaps if you're dieting, just one more serving won't hurt, just one more snack. It's been a long day. You deserve it. It won't hurt. And much more deadly is the battle Satan wages against you. Still asking you the old question in many ways. Did God really say? Did God really say you couldn't do this, say this, live like this? The devil is clever. And much of what he implies is true. I mean, look at Adam and Eve's temptation. Look at Christ's temptations. Look at your temptations. I mean, they're not the moral evil we often think. Mostly it looks pleasant, harmless, pleasing to the eye. No big deal. Doesn't God want me to be happy? Surely God will understand my situation when I react as I do. That's why we often don't fight against temptations. It's not harmless. If sin hurts you, hurts others, sin only brings death. It said there, at the time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I mean, notice God's will. Jesus goes to the wilderness. Be tempted there. And why he is there has everything to do with the battle that takes place in the wilderness of your life. I mean, the first temptation, to meet his own human needs, to undermine. He comes as a servant, obedient as also man to God, for God to perfectly provide. He denies himself in order to suffer in your place, doing what he must do, what love requires. And how often do you love, serve yourself first? Do not look to God to provide. And you justify your sins. You have your reasons. You're tired, you're hungry, you're having a bad day, you deserve, and on and on. Repent. And then the devil tries again with Jesus. And this time, he takes scripture out of context, twisting its meaning to tempt Jesus to put God to the test. You know, Luther notes here how we should consider this temptation the worst. It abandons scripture alone. And how often we indeed put God to the test. Demanding from him what no child has a right to demand. How often we disregard scripture, think we have a better idea, twist God's word to please us. Repent. And so the devil tries a third time, and this temptation is simple. Why don't you avoid all the pain and suffering that human life brings? Just bow down, worship me for a moment, even if insincere, and I will leave for good. How often do we serve, trust other gods, foremost ourselves? Repent. Satan will attack Jesus under the cross. These people aren't worth it. Look what they do. Most people hate you. And the ones that don't always fail you. Why are you doing this for people like this who so often stray, who don't hold your word, who so easily fall into temptation? You know, he answers Satan's attacks. And he does it all, for there's no other way for you to be his. Where Adam, thus mankind, failed, the new Adam is restoring, reconciling all things. For even in the garden, the promise of Eve's offspring, literally seed of the woman, the virgin birth, as there is no man to provide the seed. The promise of the Christ there in Genesis reading that Christ is wounded, heal, yet he will destroy the devil's head. And you see there too, God must clothe his people. A lamb dies, then for Adam and Eve, and later for you, blood shed, that his children wear a garment of salvation, the lamb that he provides, covering their shame. You know, we pray, lead us not into temptation. And when we confess the catechism, God tempts no one, but we pray in this petition, God would guard and keep us from the devil, the world, our sinful flesh, that they may not deceive us, mislead us into false belief, cause despair and great shame and vice. As we are attacked by these things daily, we pray that we overcome them and win the victory. You know, in the hymn that we just sang, a mighty fortress, one little word can fell him. And while there is much debate over what this little word is, Luther did once say, the little word, liar. Call the devil a liar. And Satan knows you well. Where you're vulnerable, the subtle ways to make you fail, to gratify your pleasures, desires, to destroy every relationship you have. And he fills your head with lies. Where Christ is, the devil will not be far off. I mean, one of Luther's famous sayings, where God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. He found the Lord in the wilderness, he finds you as well. And that's why you suffer, why you face so many temptations. The devil is attracted to the truth and faith. Yeah, don't forget that the devil is very good at religion. He quotes the Bible to Jesus. And still today, he's behind so much of this God talk with lies and half-truths. And Satan rejoices each night you set aside your Bible devotions. Satan laughs when people don't think it matters what religion you are as long as you're sincere. Satan doesn't mind if people are spiritual. What he doesn't like is people believe the preaching of the gospel, Christ crucified, receive the sacraments with penitent faith, and people trust in the merits of Jesus alone for forgiveness. We have the blessing of a baptism here. And you realize, immediately after our Lord's baptism, he's in this wilderness attacked by Satan. And that should tell us something about our own baptism. It doesn't make life easier, but more difficult. It begins with a battle. I mean, as Satan, as God's enemy, now becomes your enemy as you're made a child of God. Baptism places you into a battle. The sign of the cross on your forehead and heart is like a target. Do you realize how hard Satan is working against you, trying to tear away the life that God has given you in your baptism? Wants you to forget God's work in you. To look to yourself for the answers and solutions to life. Only by the Word and Holy Spirit will you be protected from the schemes of the evil one. That we should all pray more fervently that God would guard us and all the baptized from the power of the devil. So many temptations. We repent, we fight on, we use the means of God's grace for strength. For we all have bad habits, self-destructive behaviors. We all hold grudges, nitpick, and repeat our mistakes. It has been answered. Jesus died. That matters. You can't fix your family or friends, the economy, the church, or America, let alone yourself. And you can't undo the past or take it back. But you don't have to. Jesus died. You are forgiven. Your sin swallowed up in the wounds of Christ. That's what truly matters. Jesus confronted the devil and won this battle for you. What you couldn't do, Christ did. His baptism, your baptism. His conquering sin is your conquering sin. His crucifixion, his righteousness, his victory over death, his resurrection are all yours. Christ is with you. Speak his words. Pray. Call out the devil as a liar. Jesus has authority and power in your life. His angels are attending to you, fighting for you. And you know you will win. Because Christ has already won. You don't give up the fight. Do not despair. Do not give in. You fight on. You never give up. Do not stop fighting. For us fights the valiant one. And he will keep you. Bind up your wounds as often as you fall into temptation. He gives strength. You are his. And the devil cannot harm you. In the name of Jesus, amen.